Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis, and it is our last 2022 trip down to Orange County. Ronald Reagan called it the place where good Republicans go to die. The once solidly red county has gone purple. Its Board of Supervisors is blue for the first time since the 1970s. The board just ended its first green power agency after complaints it wasn't being transparent with consumers. We're going to talk about all that and more with Gustavo Arellano, columnist for the LA Times and, of course, our regular weekly guest here at GLA. And he's here with his thoughts on the year in news from OC. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
We've been talking about the purplification, for lack of a better word, of Orange County for years now. And it culminated, at least countywide, with the Board of Supervisors election just this past November. It's now majority Democratic. What does that mean symbolically, and what does it mean politically?
Well, symbolically, it's huge. The Board of Supervisors had not been Democratic, a majority, since the 1970s. And so to have what's the ostensible rulers of Orange County to be three of them Democrats, of course, you're going to see the Democratic Party use that in campaigning, use that to try to motivate candidates, lower candidates, say, like, look, we are now the party in power. Politically, this new board doesn't start until January. So it's going to be interesting, though, because you have Vince Armiento is the new supervisor. Katrina Foley, she is on the Board of Supervisors right now, but now she represents a district down in South Orange County, which historically has been very conservative. And then you have literally the man in the middle, the chair, Doug Chafee, who's a moderate Democrat who has swung with the Republicans in the past. That's why the Democratic Party of Orange County ran a more progressive opponent against him, a progressive Democrat, and he soundly beat her. So it's not going to be 100% progressive, and really both sides are going to be jockeying for favor from Chafee. So he's now the most powerful politician in many ways in Orange County.
Does the county still lean Republican, Gustavo? Do you think in other ways, though?
Look, the Democrats have, what is it, 80,000 voter advantage in terms of voter registration. Of course, there's a lot of independents, but the soul of Orange County will always be Republican. Even the Democrats, we all have a bit of Republican in us, the nasty Republican. So it's always going to be a battle for the soul. When is our Republican side going to come out? You still have Republicans dominating, definitely the school boards across Orange County, a lot of the city councils, especially in Central Orange County and South. I mean, look at Huntington Beach, which had a majority Democratic council for about a year. Now it's majority Republican. We're talking about rock rib Republicans are already trying to take back everything that the Democrats did. So especially as 2023 is an off year for elections, with the 2024 election, especially if you're not going to have Donald Trump as a Republican candidate, the Republicans are just biding their time and trying to mount another comeback. But at the same time, the Democrats are like, let's actually operate as a winning party instead of the losing party that we operated on for a generation.
We talked about the Board of Supervisors. There's another saying, in addition to the Ronald Reagan saying that I mentioned, with great power comes great responsibility, especially when it comes to power, as in electricity down in OC. One of the actions that the supervisors took recently was to leave the OC Power Authority, which is an agency created a couple of years ago to offer renewable energy. So what happened there?
Yeah, so it seems like such a obvious thing, and also kind of radical in Orange County. Here is a power authority where people can buy their energy instead of going through SoCal Edison or some of the local municipalities that have their own electrical production. Let's go green. Let's go 100% green. But this has been just swamped in controversy almost from the start. You had multiple audits, you had grand jury investigation. And so they do have client cities. The Orange County Power Authority has client cities of Fullerton, Buena Park, Irvine, and Huntington Beach, but they didn't tell people that, oh yeah, your rates are going to go up. Oh yeah, like there's just been a lot of transparency issues. So at this last board meeting, remember, it's still majority Republican, they voted to cancel it. And Lisa Bartlett, who is, she's termed out, longtime Republican down in South Orange County, going to be replaced by Katrina Foley. She was the one that was really grilling the CEO of the Power Authority, and at one point said, like, hey, I want answers The guy gave her answers, and she flat out told them these are not answers. And so she voted against it. And so what this means, though, is for the parts of Orange County that the Board of Supervisors represents. So we're talking about the unincorporated areas of Orange County. They're not going to be part of this.
They're not going to be. And some of the bigger cities, right? Some of the areas that were affected are the places where a lot of people live.
Yeah, well, those are all individual contracts, so it remains to be seen. But this is a huge blow to the power authority. Again, they're trying to sell green energy. They're trying to make money off of it. They proclaim themselves to be a way forward that, hey, if Orange County, deep red Orange County, historically deep red Orange County, can get into the green revolution, so should everyone else. And now the Board of Supervisors, literally the county of Orange, is saying, nope, we don't buy it. We literally don't buy you, and we don't buy into that.
Let's talk about street food vendors, taco stands, and the like. They don't use green power, more like tanks of propane and charcoal.
Chorizo power.
They have proliferated all over Orange County in recent years, but now cities like Anaheim are cracking down on them. What's the scene like there now?
Well, so in Anaheim, this never used to exist. So the city has been cracking down nonstop for the past couple of years. When I talk about street vendors, we're talking about people setting up a tent, setting up Clegg lights, and setting up tables. And so yesterday, the city of Santa Ana bragged, basically. We shut down over 100 street vendors over the past 6 weeks because they're selling food that is not edible to the public, which to me is like, come on. These people have been there forever. It's just that they're claiming that they're not from Orange County, they're from LA. So another battle between Orange County and LA.
Another battle, and you know, obviously an issue that LA has reckoned with too. As of 2017, street food vending is not a criminal offense in LA. What direction do you think OC will go? I mean, because this has been a battle between the street food vendors and also the restaurants that feel a bit like, you know, encroached on their turf, right?
Yeah, look, my wife runs a restaurant. People will tell me, well, how would you feel if someone set up a stall in front of her? And my response is, when it comes to food vending, I am the most libertarian possible. It's like, let the market decide.
Well, the free market has decided on the best Christmas Spanish language songs that you and a colleague there, the list of the 24 best Spanish language songs for the LA Times. And do you have a favorite, Gustavo?
Yeah, me and Susie Exposito, we spanned all sorts of genres. My personal favorite Christmas song from Mexico is called La Rama. It comes from the state of Veracruz. Gorgeous Son Jarocho that Los Lobos covered a couple of years ago. But I would be remiss if not mentioning the all-time greatest Spanish language Christmas song of all time,
yeah.
Alternately called El Burrito de Belén or El Burrito Sabanero.
All right, hit it, Phil. Now, this is a different kind of burrito, right? We're not talking about the burrito from a taco stand.
No, of course not. It's a burro. We're talking about a little donkey. So the song, it's sweet. It's from Venezuela originally. This is played all over Latin America, and it's about a group of kids going to Bethlehem on a little burrito, on a little burro. And it's the most iconic line is tuki, 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 ta. That needs no translation. It's joy. It's Christmas joy.
It's Christmas joy. Let's hear it. Gustavo Arellano. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. Thank you, my friend.
Gracias, as always.
That's going to do it for us this evening. We are out for the holiday break with some great shows and encores that you may have missed. A couple of L.A. dining institutions celebrating their anniversaries this year. And the style and performances that they bring to the table. And we'll share some of the best of our Born and Raised series about changing neighborhoods throughout greater L.A. It's all coming up next week on GLA. What are your thoughts? Do you have a story idea for us? Let us know at our website, kcrw.com/GLA. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast, too, right there. Juliana Mayo, Nihar Patel, Sonia Geis, Arnie Seipel, Danielle Chiriguayo, John Meek, Phil Richards, Amy Ta, Carlos Ramirez, Christine Camito, Holly Adams, and Christian Bordahl all helped put this episode together this evening. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year to you and yours from all of us at Greater LA and KCRW.